Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Well, get no punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He's Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadows. So glad you could join us as we're with you for the next 60 minutes talking about everything related to the New York Giants. And it is the start of rookie minicamp. So the Giants have unveiled everybody taking part in minicamp. They are currently practicing as we speak. And the Giants did announce a few roster moves yesterday in which they had waived Kevin Ogletree, the wide receiver, as well as linebacker Terrell Manning to make room for six undrafted rookies that they did sign in the mix. So we'll get into that. We'll get into some of the observations out of rookie minicamp. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And, Paul, let's start with some of the storylines here out of rookie minicamp. And what was interesting to me, at least, was how certain players are utilized at what positions. And Bennett Jackson, who was hurt last season, the seventh-round pick, he had been getting some reps at safety so far during the course of rookie minicamp.
Well, Tom Coughlin had told everybody a couple of months ago, I guess it was at the Combine, that there would be a chance Bennett Jackson would get a shot at safety. He seems to be moving around pretty well. Now, again, this is not full speed. I mean, there's no contact at rookie minicamp, so I can't tell you for sure how far he's back. I hope we get a chance to talk to him after practice is over. It's going to be wrapping up in about 15 minutes or so. But it's certainly good to see him out there on the field. I mean, medically, he's obviously cleared or he wouldn't be out there in a helmet. So that's good. Now, again, how far back is he and is he really going to be able to give himself a legitimate shot at winning that job? You know, that's anybody's guess right now.
But the point of bringing that at least out to the forefront here is what you mentioned. Tom Coughlin did make it clear they were going to experiment with possibly transforming some corners to the safety position just for the sake of competition and so forth. Now that we're getting our first glimpse of some activity on the field, it does appear that that may come true.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something about the safeties. Landon Collins was actually out there helping line guys up. I mean, are you kidding me? This guy has leadership skills that are off the charts. It is very hard to really understand from what these college kids are coming into, especially that 90% of these kids here today are tryouts. Okay, they're not even signed. They're tryouts. And they must have, like, a lot of them, you know, like deers in headlights in terms of, wow, this is the Giants, and I'm putting on a Giants helmet, and this is a real NFL field, and we're going out there, and we're going to be part of this. You can't even imagine some of the nerves that some of these guys must have. I mean, how overwhelming could this possibly be? And there's Landon Collins, as calm and as cool as a cucumber. Looks like he's probably played the game for 10 years or so or more. And he was out there actually helping some of the guys line up in some of the drills. That's a really, really positive sign if you're the Giants.
That's what happens when you bring in a player from an established college program which runs its system like an NFL system. And we were talking yesterday, Paul, about some of the intangibles with respect to Landon Collins and who would emerge as a voice out of the safety room. Not just about the X's and O's, but the layers behind the football. And if we're seeing that this early, I don't think transition is going to be too much of an issue.
No, not at all. And hey, maybe, as you know, at some of the smaller colleges especially, they don't have as many position coaches as they do at some of the larger universities. So it's quite possible that even some of the guys who are out here today on these tryouts did not have. I remember Kevin Boss, you know, when he came to the Giants, he came from such a small school. He's like, I really didn't have a true tight ends coach. I had one of the offensive assistants who helped me out.
Or sometimes the coordinators themselves help with the positional battles.
So I'm sure that there are some of the safeties that are out here today who may not have had, quote, safety coaches. They may have been lucky to have a secondary coach, to be perfectly honest with you. So I get that. You know, here's a guy coming out of Nick Saban's system. He understands the game through and through, and he's going to do what he can to help some of these guys out who didn't have the benefit of that experience or the luxury of that extra attention while they were coming up through the ranks. I did want to say, and it bears mentioning, they're listing Jeremy Davis at 6'2 and 217, and I think I said this to you the other day already from looking at some of the cut-ups. this guy is they basically took him out of a piece of granite, took a chisel, and chiseled out 6'2", 217, and said, okay, take a football helmet and go out there on the field. He is about as muscular, as imposing, as cut out as any wide receiver I've ever seen put on a Giants uniform. And there have been some guys who were imposing. Plexico Burress was a big, tall guy who had length, imposing for that reason. Ramses Barden was a big, tall guy who had some definition. He was a kind of imposing guy if you took a look at him. This guy, he looks like, right now, he could go into the ring and beat the living daylights out of Evander Holyfield. I mean, he looks like, at the very least, the cruiserweight champion of the world, if not the heavyweight champion of the world. He is absolutely as impressive a physical specimen as I've ever seen in a Giants uniform at wide receiver. I think I made the comparison. I think he looks more like Sean Williams did.
Correct.
The safety who was incredibly strong and thick and cut for the Giants some years ago. He looks tough. He's aggressive. He's energetic. You should see him out there running gunning drills, okay, with the Giants special teams folks. He's into it. This guy is very – he's got a very energetic feel to him. He looks like he belongs. I'm very, very impressed with what I saw from him just in these opening drills. And, you know, again, it's shirts and shorts. I mean, but you get first impressions. He looks like he belongs.
Observations. That's what this is about. It's the period of time where, you know, even if you're not necessarily sold on the X's O's, just the mannerisms of the players, Paul.
Yeah.
And how hard they go out there and work.
Can I give you one more?
Sure, absolutely.
Really like what I saw out of tight end Mac Lacoste. Looks like he runs very smooth routes, very fluid. Like his hands. Saw him go up. Did you catch this? Did you see the one seam?
I did.
Went up
that.
And just reached up. Yeah. Very soft, took it right
and
in.
And just to note, he's one of the six that they officially signed yesterday.
Yes.
So we should at least note that.
Looked like he had a real presence about him. Looks, again, carries himself as if he belongs. This is something you can see right away, as opposed to guys who look like they're lost. One other fellow I want to mention, and number 26 at corner, Willie, is it Creer? Willie Creer,
I believe so.
C-R-E-E-A-R, cornerback, 5'8", 190, out of Eastern Michigan. You know, here's what disappoints me, is that he's only 5'8", because he's got quicks. I could see by the way he carried himself out there when they were running team drills with real snaps. I could see he had the movements, he had the quicks, he had the ball skills to go after the ball. Against everybody on this field is bigger than him. I think he's the shortest guy. Is he not? Let's see. Oh, Reggie Watley is 5'6". So he is the second shortest guy.
Yeah.
The second shortest guy out on the field this morning. And it didn't matter to him because he's reaching up and he's gunning for that ball. Again, the height's going to be an issue. But my goodness, what I saw out of him intrigued me enough that I'd like to see some more.
One other player that I'll throw out just from pure observations is at the running back position, Kenneth Harper, the running back out of Temple, thought he had a few good runs through the limited drills that they showcased out there on the field during rookie minicamp. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here, an opportunity for you to weigh in on a variety of different subjects related to the New York Giants, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Robert gets us going in New Jersey. Robert, what's happening?
Hello, guys. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to chat. Love both of you guys and this program, diehard Giants fan.
Well, thanks so much for listening. I was just going to say thank you for listening and watching. Appreciate that. So what do you have for us?
Every day I can. Hey, guys, I just wanted to get your reaction to Mel Collins signing with the Cowboys. I was sick as a dog when I saw that last night on ESPN. Did the Giants even try to sign this guy?
Let me take this one, Lance. It doesn't matter. He got a call, went for a visit to the Cowboys, and they didn't let him off campus. I mean, it's that simple. And you know what? That happens a lot in free agency, and it doesn't matter if the guy's a rookie or even a veteran. Sometimes when you go to recruit a free agent, you have in your mind made up, he's not getting out of here. We're not going to let him on the plane until he's signed. That's what happened. I mean, whether or not anybody else was interested in him, it did not matter. Dallas signed him before he left the facility. Done. Close the book.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, for one point in today's world, I know $1.7 million, we'd all like to have it. But, you know, a three-year deal at $1.7 for a potential top 10 pick, and we needing improvements on the line, obviously, just was a little disheartening.
Well, keep in mind, Robert, just based on the reports, and obviously the Giants don't comment publicly on who they go after or the extent of any talks and so forth, but you know, you threw out the numbers that are reported for his Cowboys contract. Everything was guaranteed in that contract, according to what I read in terms of the reports. And you know, a lot of people will say, well, that's not a lot of money, but it comes into play with respect to the salary cap. This is where teams get an edge on one another. It's the guaranteed money and the signing bonus. That's what differentiated one team from another, at least those who were going after Collins in that respect.
Yeah. And just in conclusion, you know, you always want more and more and better players, but truly excited about the improvement with the team with this year's draft. And I'll just let it to you guys and have a good program.
Appreciate the phone call, Robert.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And there is a good, intriguing group of players that were brought into the mix, and even undrafted players. You know, this is when the Giants are going to start to do their homework to determine who may be able to round out our 53-man roster when we're ready to wrap up training camp and so forth. I think the key emphasis for at least Giants fans, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of phone calls, and I've already gotten a lot of tweets on the Collins front, you know, sometimes you need to focus on who's on the roster and who is going to produce and who is going to contribute as opposed to who's out there and who's elsewhere. There's a number of players that they brought in, Paul, who day one certainly are in a position to contribute immediately.
Well, and really, you know, he mentioned, well, reinforcements on the offensive line. They got some of those.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we talked about that for the last 3 years. They've got some of those now. I mean, Eric Flowers is going to start week one. Unless something unforeseen happens, he's starting week one against the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, you can't argue with the fact that he was one of the highest-rated offensive linemen on the board, and so value meant need, and they got him. The one other thing I did want to mention before we get the other caller is that there are a number of Canadian football players who came here for the Giants tryouts today. It's unique. I've never seen this many Canadian players in camp before. I understand that many, many, many years ago, that was something that was a little more common. You know, we're not going to get a chance to talk to Coach Coughlin. He's going to be talking right now, as a matter of fact, as they come off the practice field. I'm sure you guys will get that stream later on Giants.com. That would be a question I'd like to delve into a little bit more. What is it about a bunch of the college folks? But I will say this. In today's game, especially with all the technology and how we were talking about how guys are uncovered. If you have anything available to bring to an NFL team, they're going to find you. Well, there's nothing wrong with tapping into a usually unused resource. And if the Giants can find two or three or four players from Canada, more power to them. Because it's hard to find guys in the continental U.S. right now because everybody's pretty much known about. And that's why, you know, you look for other ways to uncover talent.
And that group includes Brett Jones, who they already signed on the roster, who's at the center spot. Let's head back to the lines. JC is in Arizona. JC, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, JC. How's everything with you?
All right. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you loud and clear.
All right. First-time caller, long-time listener. From since 2010, I've been listening to you guys, I believe, the DBK show.
Well, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate that. So what do you have for us today?
Well, I had like three comments and maybe one question. One thing that I've been analyzing here is I think we're trying to get younger. Nobody has talked about the fact that it seems like we're trying to build through the draft, like kind of like the Seahawks. They have a lot of late picks, a lot of contributors. A lot of people are, you know, speculating about, you know, getting more free agents and signing all these people. Honestly, I want to go in the direction where we're building through the draft, getting younger, giving these guys a chance. How many times have you guys heard of, you know, Shakes, you know, Frank, all these, you know, longtime callers mention the fact that, oh, you know, we never give our rookies a chance. Coach Coughlin is old school. He never does this, never does that. But now look at the direction that we're going into. We didn't sign too many big splashes or a lot of agents. But now we're building, and it looks like we're really just trying to focus on the draft and get younger, faster. Maybe give some of these guys a chance to play. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I would agree. I mean, I think obviously they brought in a number of young players who are going to be given legitimate opportunities to compete. Look at last year. I don't even think you need to start to speculate to answer your question about this season. How about all of the rookies that had opportunities last year and made contributions? When a fifth-round pick like Devon Kennard goes out there and shows up on the stat sheet each and every game, I think that pretty much addresses what you're just touching on, JC, that perhaps the change, I don't want to say a change in culture, because rookies have always been given opportunities, but maybe you can make the argument they haven't been able to step in day one and all of a sudden showcase their true abilities. Over the last few years, though, I think that narrative has changed.
Exactly. So I like where we're going. We're getting younger. I think a lot of these young guys are going to get more opportunities that we've seen before. So a lot of the callers, when they complain about that, I don't like that, because I want them to see what we're trying to do, how we're trying to change. And the other thing, PDOT was talking to Shakes yesterday about the linebackers, and I understand where PDOT and Shakes is coming from. I think that a lot of these linebackers, they're tweeners. They're just not the mold that we're used to from the good old, back in the days. I'm not that old, but I've been watching the Giants since I was about 9 years old. I'm a native of Queens, and I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona now, but I've been obviously a Giants fan for a long time. Yes, we need a good linebacker to dominate, but they're not the mold, as the old school linebackers, what they used to be. Look at the 49ers when we played them in the playoffs, back in 2011, they had the best linebackers, but at the end of the day, who won? We did. We advanced, and we didn't have the greatest linebackers. So I don't think we don't need that. Even coming into this season, I think with the linebackers that we have, they're young, they're growing, they have a lot of upside. We have good coaches. I think we're heading in the right direction, and then we got these young safeties. I understand why they let Rowe go. I understand why they let Stevie Brown go, because I think they have some good young guys coming in that they have faith in, and I think we're going to see a lot of new young faces. So that was my last comment. I wanted to see what you guys think about that. And then my question was, this tight end that we signed that was undrafted, PDOT, have you done any studying on him? Was he on your radar? And what are the chances of him making the team? I'll take that off the air.
All right, JC,
thank you.
For the call.
Well, first of all, if Lawrence Taylor walked into this facility right now and decided to put on a uniform to play, I think everybody would welcome him. and we'd have no problem with them adding Lawrence Taylor to the linebacking core. Of course, Lawrence Taylors don't walk into the facility each and every day and each and every year. Everyone's still looking for the next Lawrence Taylor, and they're not going to find him. In terms of Matt Lacoste from Illinois, he's a guy who is got a good frame. In fact, what are they giving him? What are they listing him at? They're listing him at 6'5", 261. I like the fact that he was used as an H-back. He was used as a fullback. He was used as an inline blocker. Also did some slot work. So extremely versatile. From what I saw out there, looks smooth, looks confident, looks like he's got some polish on him. The research I did on him is that he is a blocking first tight end. That is his preferred method of playing. It just so happens that in the different roles that they had for him, he had the chance to become more versatile than just an inline blocking tight end. He showed some skills and aptitude. Now, he didn't go to the combine. He wasn't invited. But at his pro day, he put up numbers which would have put him in, I believe, his time 4.6s that he ran at his pro day would have made him, I think, the second quickest tight end in the 40 had he been invited to the combine. So don't worry about him being lumbering and slow. That's not an issue. And his other numbers at his pro day would have put him, I think, in the top third of the tight ends who tested at the combine. So this guy, in terms of the measurables, and, you know, I don't really put a lot of stock in those. I'm more interested in the tape. And the measurables, he certainly rated well enough to get an invite and to get a serious look. And that's why the Giants have already signed him.
Correct.
He's not a tryout.
I was
He's a
say,
signee.
And I think you hit it right in the nose, Paul. The fact that he was already signed, you can put a little bit more stock in that they have been keeping an eye on him throughout the process once the draft wrapped up.
Yes. And so that's what I'm excited about for him, is that the Giants already put enough faith in him to put his name on the dotted line. So here's the deal. Once we get to the regular camp and we start seeing contact and I start seeing his blocking technique more at this pro level and see how strong he is at the pro level, then I'll be able to tell more. In fact, it might not even be the preseason games, to be totally honest with you, Lance, before I really get a feel for what he can do in the NFL. Illinois, good program, good conference. Again, you got to be strong and physical to play in that conference or you don't survive. So these are all good signs for him. We're going to have to see.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Marcin is in California. Marcin, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How you guys doing?
Hi, Marcin. How's everything with you?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, I just want to touch on the quarterback, safety, and offensive line real quick.
Sure.
Okay, so I think our Super Bowl window is open as long as Eli's playing. And, you know, having seen what Brady's going through, you know, the cheating, the Roethlisberger, you know, the legal cases, watching Jay Cutler quit on his team, I think we sometimes underappreciate Eli, you know, and I think we should never do that.
Well, I mean, Eli Manning has been a sign of stability for the Giants organization for decades. So, I mean, I don't really think that anybody is questioning his abilities and his resume at this point and his durability, which is probably one of the things that jumps off the page to me, and he probably doesn't get enough credit for that considering the turnover and injury rate at the quarterback position. So, I mean, to throw out comparisons, we could sit here all day and rank quarterbacks. The Giants, thanks to Eli Manning's presence ever since they made that trade, has provided a great deal of stability for not just the organization but specifically the offense.
No, I agree, but, you know, last year when, you know, he was throwing in a lot of interceptions and the year before, people were calling in saying, hey, how come this guy's not getting benched? And, you know, these are, like, real true Giants fans calling in. And I think, you know, we sometimes underestimate Eli. But let's move on. All right, so the offensive line, everyone seems to think that Flores, the kid from the first round, is going to be starting right away. And it's, you know, his pass protection, you know, everything I've read is they're worried about his technique. Do you think that's something he can straighten out in rookie camp and in preseason and be ready?
The two things to remember there, A, offensive line coach Pat Flaherty is among the best in the business at polishing guys up. And B, Flowers only played 2.5 years at Miami as an offensive tackle. He's coming out, you know, early this year. So when you combine his inexperience with the fact that he's got a master who's going to work with him, you'd like to believe the odds are good that he's going to be ready sooner rather than later.
Marcin, let's put it this way. He's got the size. He's got the physique. He's got the resume and the experience. If the one concern is to fine-tune a technique here or there, I don't think that that should be a huge concern considering what Paul just mentioned, the coaching staff that is in place and the track record.
And, oh, by the way, he certainly has the strength.
Yes. That has been well documented as well.
And, you know, the thing that I really like is that guy's all about football. He doesn't, you know, from what I read, he doesn't go out, he doesn't party. And, like, I really like, you know, how close he is with his dad, that whole working out with your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's our family, and he's all about family, it seems. So I like that part.
All good points. Yeah.
Okay, so real quick on the safeties. Like, the one thing that surprised me is that we kept Stevie Brown and let him rehab, come back from injury, and then we let him go for veterans minimum to the Texans. I was wondering, I mean, I don't question Jerry Reese's, you know, decisions at all, but that one kind of, I went like, hmm.
Well,
what do you think about letting Stevie Brown go?
You know, you don't know what the Houston Texans put on the table for him aside from money, because sometimes, I can tell you this, Stevie Brown himself told me that the plan, hopefully, was that he was going to wind up coming back here. The Giants showed interest in him. Spagnuolo showed interest in having him come back. He wanted to come back, but he had to rehab the foot. And what happens a lot of times is there's a timing factor with some of these guys, because sometimes you got the draft and other free agents, and you have priorities, and you're waiting for a guy to heal, or you say to him, look, we'll take care of it after the draft. Well, maybe everybody's on the same page with that, but then some other team, and I'm not saying this is exactly what happened because I don't know, but some other team says, well, wait a minute. If you don't want to wait, and we know you think you got a deal going back there, but we'll give you a deal right now. You're absolutely positively going to get a deal right now. You can sign a contract now. No sense in waiting any longer. We need you to come in here now. And if you notice, Stevie Brown was signed by the Texans before the draft.
Correct. Yep.
That right. sometimes does happen in this league. Guys kind of have a good feel and a good word of mouth that they're going to come back, but then all of a sudden, pre-draft, they get a concrete offer, take it or leave it, sign now, it's guaranteed, you're in the league. Sometimes that happens.
Right.
And I will also, by the way, just tell you, Stevie's got family down there, too. So, you know, there's an attraction there as well.
And appreciate
it. Hopefully.
Real quick, Marcin, what else you got?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, hopefully Mikael Thompson, that fifth-rounder kid, can, you know, step in and do what he did.
Well, there's a number of safeties currently on the roster between youth and some experience like Josh Gordy. And appreciate the phone call. And there's a few safeties that they brought into rookie minicamp who are going to get good looks as well. It's a youthful movement. That's the direction that the Giants are clearly going in with respect to the safety spot. And, you know, what Paul was mentioning, Stevie Brown, stability, security for any NFL player. This is not just related to the Giants, Paul. As you mentioned, if you have a team that says we're going to give you a contract, and I don't know whether or not certain aspects are guaranteed or whatnot, you're going to just jump to that because you know at least, hey, for this season, I have X amount of dollars that I could put aside. Another aspect of this.
Again, you have to understand that a football player's lifespan is very finite in terms of his ability to play the game. And if Stevie Brown in his own mind decided, you know what, even though I think it's going to work out with the Giants in another month or two, you know, when we finally get to camp in August, if I got a deal sitting on the table right now and I know that nothing's going to screw that up, I can sign it and I can start, you know, working immediately. I'm not saying that happened. Again, I'm not saying that happened. But those scenarios do occur. And you can never blame a player for taking a deal that's on the table in front of him when he knows it's a sure thing. And even if the other deal is 98% sure, it's still not sure until it happens another month or so maybe down the road.
Plus, Stevie Brown is also a player with an injury history. And that's another thing where he's looking for a little bit more security than maybe perhaps a player who hasn't had the same type of injury history. So when a team comes calling, you can understand that player's not necessarily going to hesitate and may all of a sudden accept whatever is laid out on the table. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll get to some of your tweets as we move along here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Friday's edition. So glad you could join us. He's Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow. Back to the lines. Vic is in Florida. Vic, what's happening?
Good afternoon, guys. How you guys doing today?
Great. How are you?
How's everything with you?
All right. I have a couple of things. One thing, you guys may get upset at me, but that's fine. I've been a Giants fan for a long time. I even got a tattoo on my right arm that says, to my beloved Giants forever. The thing that I want to say is I don't think the Giants were aggressive enough in signing Lyle Collins. I think that Jerry Reese blew this one out. I don't know, but I am totally peed, disgusted. They could have got him, and I think they would have gotten him if they tried hard enough. What do you think about that?
Well, Vic, that's your opinion. You're entitled to that. You know, once again, as I referenced at the beginning of the show, the Giants don't publicly comment on who they pursue, how aggressively they pursue that player, but I'll reference what I mentioned to another caller. It's coming down to guaranteed money in Lyle Collins' situation and the signing bonus. See, Collins, you know, I think a lot of people need to understand the ins and outs of the salary cap. He was in a unique circumstance, Paul, because he was undrafted. Now, when you're an undrafted rookie, it's not basically you go out on the open market and if a team wants to sign you for $30 million, you just take the $30 million. There was a barometer in which he could sign.
Right.
But then what all of a sudden separated some of the top teams from the bottom teams that were in the running for him is Dallas, using them as an example. Dallas was saying to him, we'll give you a three-year deal. All 3 years is guaranteed. No ands, ifs, or buts. And we're going to throw a signing bonus your way, too. You have to factor that into the salary cap and whether or not you want to make that type of a commitment.
It seems to me like Dallas gets everything they want. I can't understand that. But anyway, I like the way that the Giants are doing. They're building through the draft, like in 1979 with George Young, build a team. And I really hope that they do good this year. I read a report yesterday somewhere that they're 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. Did you guys see that?
I did not.
Anyway, thank you for taking my call. I'm still disappointed, but anyway, have a good day.
You too.
I love your shows. I'll be watching
All
every
right,
day.
Man. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. I did not see the whereabouts or the odds for the Super Bowl, but I'll tell you one thing. We're still so far away. Rosters haven't been finalized. Haven't gotten on the field for OTAs or mini camps or training camps. So we got a long way to go before we lay out the odds.
A long way to go.
Exactly. Let's head back to the phone lines. David is in Michigan. Dave, what's happening?
How we doing, guys?
Doing well, Dave. How you
doing? Good. I just I had one question. I'm an Ann Arbor native here, and went to some games. You picked up Takari Johnson, linebacker from Concordia University in Arbor. I just kind of wanted to see where he's at there with the depth chart, looking at the linebackers for the Giants here in this upcoming season. You know, with the small school NAI. How he's looking comparatively to, guys from bigger places, things like that.
Well, there are about five dozen guys here today at the Giants rookie minicamp. And, again, most of them are on tryout deals. He's
right.
One of those guys. He did not stick out to me when I was out there for the better part of almost 2 hours. I know, Lance, you were
okay.
out there as well. I don't know if he stuck out to you, but he's wearing number 69. And there was nothing about a number 69 in blue, because defense is wearing blue, offense is wearing
green, right.
that I remember catching my eye. I told
okay.
you up top at the beginning of the show some of the guys who definitely, made me blink for a second or two. He wasn't one of them.
And, Dave, just okay. to allude and tackle exactly what Paul was touching on right now, they got four linebackers I just counted in rookie minicamp, just to at least put things
okay.
in perspective. And then you obviously need to consider all the guys on the roster. So, I mean, you were basically alluding to the fact, does he stand out and perhaps what the odds of him making the roster? Right
yeah.
now, obviously, it's not going to be easy given the fact that you already have a cluster on the roster, plus there's going to be some other competition here that is currently in camp. I mean, most of the linebackers, I'm looking over this depth chart here, and what I mean by depth chart is just a laundry list. It's not necessarily, where they align in terms of the position, but most of these linebackers are from small schools, just looking over things.
Well, there is a
Concordia,
Ioane Unga from BYU. He's a linebacker at 6'1", 239, first-year pro player.
And then
okay.
you have Cole Farron from Maryland.
Oh,
that's,
I'm just looking at what we have here. All right, well, in any event, none of the linebackers stood out for me in terms of what we saw today. But, again, we had to leave 20 minutes early to come in and do the show.
Right.
Maybe somebody who's on Twitter, some of the beat reporters who have been out there, saw some spectacular plays in the last 20 minutes that we didn't see.
Yeah, I saw that he got the first interception in the training camp. So I was, keeping my hopes up, having a good story from a small school and kind of, seeing if you could shake things up in your camp. So.
Again. Maybe that happened while we came inside. Thank you.
You got it.
All
I appreciate
thanks,
the phone call, Dave. And I'll reference Kerry Wynn, small school. I mean, it
Richmond.
Can happen. It can happen if you make enough of an impact.
FCS, though,
out.
That's a little higher than NAIA, but nonetheless.
It is. But
hey, you know what? If you can play, you can play.
Corey Washington, another one from a small school, too.
Newberry.
So
Division II.
There's been examples of players who don't necessarily come from powerhouses and find a way to get within the 53. Mike is in Florida. Mike, what's happening? Mike, are you there?
Hello, Paul Dottino Paisano.
How are you?
My name is Cariglio, so I just get a kick out. Finally, I see a nice Italian announcer. Anyways, listen. You made a comment on a guy named Akeem Hunt.
Oh,
well,
sure.
I'll
give you a comment on him. Go ahead.
You didn't?
No, I will. I saw him out there today.
Yes, that's what I'm commenting on. I missed your comment. I caught the tail end of it.
Well, he's a scat back. Okay, and they're
yeah.
listing
well,
him at. Let me see what they're listing him at right now. They got
yeah.
him at 5'10", 190 out of Purdue. He's
yeah.
one of those guys who, because of his versatility as a return guy, as a slot guy, as a scat back, third down kind of guy, he's intriguing. And at the very least, I think he's very intriguing to be a practice squad guy, because you'd love to use him on a scout team. He can give you a lot of different looks. And you know what? who knows what the Giants running back injury situation is going to be in training camp and in the preseason. If that turns out to be a roster spot, he'll get a chance to compete. But right now, just looking at him in shirts and shorts, it's hard to see if he's got, you know, a little extra power in his legs, or if he's got an extra move, or if he's willing to dip his shoulder and take somebody on. I can't tell you that because they're not hitting people today.
Yes. Well, here's my point. I went on the internet, and what I like to do is when we draft guys and we get these free agents, I immediately go to the internet and I look up their college highlights.
Sure.
And I went and saw all the highlights of this guy, Keem Hunt, in Purdue, when he was playing for Purdue there. And his breakaway speed is excellent. He reminds me of Sproles. Maybe not as thick, but definitely has that elusive breakaway speed that, DeSean Jackson and Sproles, those two guys hurt us when we play them all the time because of their elusiveness and their breakaway speed. I'll bet you he sticks as a kickoff returner.
I think Harris is going to
be doing that. Yeah. I'm guessing.
Now, here's what I will tell you. According to his pro day results, he ran a 4.4 in his 40-yard dash, which is solid. It's not lightning quick. I mean, you're going to have to be in the 4.3s or the 4.2s to be lightning quick. And being a smallish kind of guy, you know, I think that's probably one of the reasons he didn't get drafted. But what you can see on film with him is certainly his straight line speed is better. His straight line speed, from looking at his footwork outside, looks like his straight line speed is a little bit better than perhaps his juke ability. He does. I don't think he's got Bradshaw's juke ability, from what I could tell, from looking at the tapes and then seeing him out there today. I don't think he's got that, which is the quicks.
Well, but just make a note of this call because I guarantee you he's going to stick with the team.
Well, time will tell, Mike, and appreciate the phone call.
I hope so.
Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You got it. And a lot of other people actually are weighing in on Akeem Hunt on Twitter as well. Big Dash 07088 at ColeWiz88. Akeem Hunt looks like a special teams gem back kick punt returner. That is one thought. Then Eric Waiters at Nick for Life, spelled LYF, interested in Akeem, looks like a keeper. So it seems to be a big topic of discussion on Twitter here.
We know that running back is a position that is susceptible to injury, first off. And then second off, again, with a guy who's got these kinds of skills, he does have a wide variety of skills. At the very least, you'd have to think he's going to get a good look in training camp. And subsequently, even if he doesn't make the 53, watch him carefully during the preseason. And he could wind up sticking around as a practice squad guy, a very valuable scout guy. Sometimes guys are really, really valuable in that role.
And based on last year, a number of players from the practice squad wind up being called up to the 53-man roster. So there is value if you can retain him and you put him on the practice squad. It's not as if all of a sudden you can't take advantage of his skill set.
The only reason, and I don't want to sound like I'm throwing cold water on it, remember, he's an undrafted rookie free agent, and they have Rashad Jennings, Andre Williams, Shane Vereen.
Orleans Darkwood, too.
You know, guys who have been in this league and are pretty accomplished. So, you know, he's got quite a road to hoe if he is going to make the 53, given the running backs that are ahead of him.
And then let's also mention the special teamers, because the last caller was talking about how he could be a great dynamic return guy. Well, Dwayne Harris was brought in for that very reason.
And he's paid good money to do so.
So you take that into consideration. You also have a guy named Preston Parker who has experience in that department, Reuben Randall, Odell Beckham. You know, they have a number of playmakers who can easily return kickoffs and punts. Do you find the spot on the 53 to retain a player like Akeem Hunt just for that? I don't know. I think obviously they would want somebody who can give a little bit of everything and perhaps can get out on the field.
The point is, he's here. He's being given a chance to show his wares and to compete. Let's see going forward. Again, Tom Coughlin, one of his favorite words, opportunity. This young man's been given an opportunity to show his wares. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Let's head back to the lines. Jeff is in New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, Jeff.
Just couldn't help myself after listening to a couple of callers call in complaining about Dallas getting Lael Collins and us not getting him and all this. And just wondering if everybody realizes that Dallas is giving him all that guaranteed money with no guarantee he's even going to get on the field. We don't even have any facts in his case yet, so would you want to give $7 million or whatever the contract was of guaranteed money to a guy that may not even see the field?
Which is why there's no point even talking about him, okay? There was no official contact that we know of by the organization. Therefore, it's a non-entity.
Right. With regards to Dallas, I mean, it really doesn't concern me. I know they're our division rival and all that, and I think the guy just called up and he said they get whatever they want. I'm kind of happy to let them have whatever they want because look what they're getting. They just signed Greg Hardy to big money. He's going to miss the first 10 games unless he wins as a field, which he's not going to. They just signed this kid who may not see the field because we don't even know what happened in his case. They just drafted Randy Gregory that looks good on paper. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker, and they just switched to a 3-4 or a 4-3. So I don't know what they think they're getting with him. And they draft the combine warrior at cornerback that they don't even know if he can cover anybody. And look at their track record drafting cornerbacks with Carr and Claiborne. Throw this kid in there. I am not scared of them at all.
Carr was a free agent, in fairness. He was brought over.
Oh, was he? I thought he was. I'm sorry.
No,
but
he was a free agent.
Claiborne was a pretty high draft pick that hasn't done a whole lot. And I don't know. They don't scare me. I know they're our division rival and all that, but they've already got the best offensive line in the league. So if this kid works out, yeah, he's going to be a steal. He may not even see the field. Hardy's not going to see the field. And Gregory, he's got all the baggage, and he doesn't fit in their system. So, you know, some of our fans, I think, are concerning themselves a little too much with what Dallas is doing or things like that.
Well, and you know what? Not to cut you off, Jeff, and I'll let you continue. And, you know, you really hit on the point that, you know, I've been trying to emphasize also on Twitter. If Lyle Collins, and, you know, I'm not trying to make the whole show about this. We don't necessarily need to go on a whole tangent. If he signs with the Raiders, if he signs with the Packers, I'm very curious if the Giants fan base is having the same reaction. I think the fact that he signed with the Cowboys within the division accelerates the discussion. I mean, in all fairness.
Oh, of course it does.
So I mean, that you have to put things in perspective from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think an issue, and I know you guys don't talk about it, I saw reports on the internet yesterday, too, that supposedly the Giants were interested. I doubt there was anything to that, but most of the fans, they'll see something like that, and they'll get all excited. So then when we don't sign him, you're going to get the people calling in and say, oh, we didn't try hard enough to sign him, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. Those rumors were probably about as meaningful as half the draft rumors that were out there. I don't know. I know it's a division rival and all that. I'm not concerned with what they're doing. I don't think we need to be all that concerned with what they're doing. I think we got enough stuff with the players we're bringing in and our own things to look at. We really don't need to be losing sleep over Dallas.
If you have a thought about one of the players they have here today, I'll be glad to listen to it. Otherwise, we got to move on.
Yep, no, that was it.
Thank you.
Tell Giants fans, calm down about Dallas.
You got it. All right, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's move along from Jeff in New Hampshire. We go to Jeff in New York. Jeff, what's happening? Jeff, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Jeff.
Thank you for your time.
Not a problem. What do you got for us?
Two questions. First of all, where do you guys see Jonathan Hankins this year, 2015, after a great season last year, showing that he could stop the run with 51 tackles and showing that he's a pass rusher with 7 sacks, 6 QB hits, and 21 hurries? And also, where do you guys, I mean, you guys mentioned earlier that it's a long way to the Super Bowl. We all understand that. But the Giants can definitely, in my opinion, they can definitely make it there. In offensive perspective, last year they were top 10 in many statistics. This year, with Steve Spagnuolo coming back, hoping that the defense will be better, and if the defense does improve, their chances are much higher now. So where do you guys see them as in terms of their record, their ranking, and how good of a team they are overall, that as well?
First of all, it's too early to say, and second of all, I remember that there was so much optimism about this defense last year when they had signed DRC. They thought that JPP was going to come back 100% healthy and have a totally kick-butt year. It took them a little while to get back into the flow, and of course, again, the stinger in Detroit really kind of hurt them in the early part of the season. But the bottom line is this. John Beeson went and got hurt again and lost a whole bunch of games. And he was the heart and soul, even though Roll was a defensive captain. Beeson was just as much a big part of that D. And that kind of, you know, made things a little bit of a mess. Their corners went and got hurt. So here's what I'm going to say to you. I remember Antoine Roll telling us at training camp, this Giants defense has the chance to be one of the best in the league, and the secondary certainly is going to be the best in the league. And because of injuries, it wound up not happening that way. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Giants are going to have a top 5 or top 10 defense. What I'm going to tell you is, on paper, they should be better than they were last year. and they should be good enough, if everybody stays healthy, to be in the playoff conversation. I do believe that. I think there's enough of talent on this defense to say it's a playoff-caliber defense. That's as far as I'm going.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff, okay. Appreciate the phone call. To answer his first question with respect to Jonathan Hankins, outside of the expectations of the team, he had a breakout year in 2014. Jeff, the last caller, threw out all of his numbers, which to me speak for themselves. I mean, the goal is for him to build off of that type of production.
You know better. Forget the numbers. Believe what you see.
Absolutely.
You watch this
yeah.
guy play.
Oh,
he's
ball
good.
Ball. Yeah.
He is good. And I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, when he was drafted here by the Giants, one of my personnel gurus said to me, that guy's going to Pro Bowl. He's got it written all over him. He's that good. He's got that many ups.
What I liked about what he showed last season, Paul, he came in as a run stopper. Now all of a sudden he developed into a pass rusher. That's an added bonus.
He's a very, very talented athlete for a man his size. He really is. You watch him. I remember watching the first snaps at rookie minicamp. You folks ask sometimes, what's the value of rookie minicamp when guys are in shorts and T-shirts and stuff? I will tell you, from the very first time I saw Jonathan Hankins at rookie minicamp, I was amazed at how quick he got off the snap. I mean, it's like, wow, is he really 300-plus pounds? You're kidding me. The guy's like a cat when the ball is snapped. That was something that immediately stuck out at you. It was almost like he was going 78 RPMs. I know you old-timers with records will understand this. And everybody else was going 33 and a third. It was pretty wicked.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Logan is in Maryland. Logan, what's happening?
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Logan. What do you have for us?
I just want to find out two questions for your opinions. First off, with the offensive line, I know everybody's calling in saying Leo, Collins, and all that or whatever. But do you guys think that we honestly solidified our offensive line? I personally do, which I think with the signing of Brett Jones, if that's a center from Canada. The guy tore it up in Canada, was doing amazing. I understand there's difference in the rules of 1 yard of the defensive player being off.
Yes.
But I think that guy could definitely play in anywhere, especially if we have an injury like we did last year with Jeff Schwartz going down. But, I mean, I think if we kick Pugh into right guard, we have Flowers at right tackle, Richburg at center, then Schwartz left guard, and Beatty left tackle. Like, I think that sounds like a pretty solid line, and plugging Brett Jones wherever he needs to go. I don't know if you guys would oppose that, or if you think they solidified their line to actually be able to make a run with this line for a few years now. And also, the running back position, I love Andre Williams. Him coming out of Boston College, I think he was a fourth-round draft pick.
Yes.
But he led NCAA in rushing with over 2,000 yards that year. I was excited as all when he was still there. I was excited they picked him. I mean, he's a Heisman finalist. I think that was a steal. So I was wondering if you guys think he could carry the load as the starter, actually.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Logan. Let's start, I guess, with Andre Williams first. The goal, at least for the Giants, assuming Rashad Jennings is healthy and you bring in Shane Vereen, I don't think they envision having one back handle the load because there's enough versatility in the back.
I agree. It's a three-headed monster. So that's the first question. Go ahead with yellow.
The second one was about have the Giants solidified their offensive line and perhaps where could Brett Jones fill in. And Brett Jones has been a guard and a center from his days in the CFL. But remember, he's got to transition to where he lines up on the line. So that remains to be seen. I think they brought in youth over the last 3 years, Paul, to relate to that statement where you're at least building a young nucleus. You have Pugh. You have Richburg, you have Flowers. Three consecutive years, you took an offensive lineman in round one and round two. To complement that, you have the veteran Beatty, you have the veteran Schwartz. So they're heading in the right direction. They're heading in the direction of where the Cowboys have, which is we want to invest in a young nucleus so that we can mesh those guys together over a long period of time.
Well, the Redskins grab Sheriff.
Yeah.
So they invested something in their offensive line this year, too. Jones played one game at guard, by the way, in the CFL, so he had a little bit of experience, a little taste of it. But he is really a center, and I've been told that's where they really envision him right now, is the backup center to Richburg. And if he can compete at one of the other interior positions, that's great. Again, competition's good. The only other thing I want to add, and I guess the call's already gone,
yeah.
Greg? Well, all right, we'll let you go. The only other thing I want to add about that is about these Canadian players. We were asking ourselves if we could get an answer from Tom Coughlin about that. And apparently the reporters did after practice wrapped up and we were in the studio. And Coughlin's answer to that was availability.
Well, there you go. That's one way to spin it.
They're free agents. They're not signed.
They're available.
They're
Bring
available.
Them on down. We need
they're
more
available.
Bodies, more competition. There's
Let's
nothing
go.
Wrong with that.
And quite frankly, it's the best reason possible. They're available. We have access.
And it has been a trend in recent years where CFL players have been getting opportunities. And some guys have started in the NFL. They've gone to the CFL. They've come back. So it's not as if, you know, they're digging into uncharted territory.
Remember Cameron Wake was on the Giants practice squad many years ago. And, you know, he was here for a cup of coffee. And again, on the practice squad, was not ready for the NFL. Went to Canada. Had a few years up there, and then came back here and exploded into a Pro Bowl pass rusher with the Miami Dolphins. So it's not impossible, you know, that somebody could be imported from Canada and wind up giving you some meaningful snaps.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We'll also get some more tweets in as we take you till the top of the hour. Kevin is in Florida. Kevin, what's happening?
Yeah, I was wondering if you fellas out there this morning saw Bobby Hart, the guard from Florida State, and how he looked.
Yeah, Bobby's a big guy. I mean, again, what are they listing him at? I swear he's 330, 335.
They have him at 334.
Okay, 6'4", well, there you go. There you go, because I think some of the draft guys were saying he was like 315. When he, you know, he's bigger than that. He is a load. I look at him, and physique-wise and looking at him, the way he moves and the kind of game he's going to play at guard, he reminds me of more of a Kevin Booth type than he does anything else. You know, at that size, you're not going to get a lot of quicks. You're not going to get athleticism, you know, most often. Again, Hankins is the exception. Defensive lineman, he's over 300 pounds, and he's very fast and quick with his feet and everything else. No, Hart's your typical 335-pound, big, anchoring, base, offensive lineman, inside, power, straight ahead. That's what he is. And I know that they feel like he's got a very good chance to make the team, or they wouldn't have drafted him.
Well, you know, I'm down here in Florida. I'm not a Seminole, but it seems like everybody else I meet is. And I can tell you, Florida State, you don't play unless you can bring a certain amount of athleticism to your position.
Yeah,
their skill position are just too quick and too fast that Bowden and Fisher could not tolerate plodding linemen. So I got a feeling, just talking to some people, this guy might, by next year, he may be competing for playing time. I don't think it'll happen this year.
Understand what you're saying, except that his body type, and again, that's why the Giants are moving him from tackle to guard. If he had really good athleticism, he'd be viewed more as a tackle, because that's where he played at Florida State.
Played right
coming
back.
Up, yeah, coming up to the NFL, no, he's a guard. He does not have the athleticism at this level to be able to do that.
Yeah, I would see him as a pro tackle, but I think
point.
He could be he could be competing for playing time at guard by this time next year.
It's possible. It's possible. I won't put a limit on the guy. I won't. He played at a big time program, pro style offense.
And
you know,
won a national title too.
Yeah, right. And one other question: do you think that Darkwa has a chance of making the team again next year as a backup runner?
I do.
Or is that fair?
I do. I mean, you guys have heard me talk about him. I thought in the small sampling that we got to see last season, he seemed to be a very heady ball player, good attitude. He's got some physical tools. He can run with a little bit of power. He has a little bit of juke ability. He's got good hands. He's willing to block
special
and pick
teams.
Up the blitz and play special teams. I mean, he's got all the kinds of things that you want from a back end of the depth chart running back. So I'd say, yeah, I mean, he's going to be in a fight. Don't get me wrong. I mean, whether Akeem Hunt or somebody else, you know, wants to come along and fight him for a spot. But I think Darkwa's got a chance to stick.
Yeah, well, he showed that. I thought the Giants not drafting a running back indicates, I think they're willing to at least give him a pretty good look.
Well, assuming they keep four running backs, absolutely. I mean, he would be fourth on the depth chart as we speak right now if we were to make a hypothetical
right.
depth chart. There's nothing official, but you have your core three, and then Orleans Darkwa is right there because Michael Cox was recently released. He would have also been in the mix, but they parted ways with him.
There's always that
the
numbers game. You know, like you said, there's always that numbers game. How many guys are going to be kept at that position? That's always the tricky part. that sometimes winds up showing a guy the door. It wasn't because he didn't do enough. It wasn't because he didn't belong on the depth chart. It was because, guess what? We needed to rob Peter to pay Paul because we needed one of the positions somewhere else.
And the other thing to take into consideration is Henry Heinoski, too. Whether or not they feel he could be that emergency type of running back, depending on how the numbers break down on the 53, of course. This is Bobby Hart's breakdown in terms of his experience in college, based on what the last caller was touching on. 2011, his freshman campaign, he appeared in 11 games. He started the final 9 at left tackle.
Yeah.
2012, he appeared in 8 games as a backup guard, and he was a member of the field goal kicking team as well, we should note, in 2012. That was his sophomore year. Junior year, 2013, started all 14 games at right tackle, won a national championship, and then this past season started all 14 games again at right tackle. So you have experience at tackle, you have experience at guard, you have experience on the field goal kicking team. A little versatility there. If he can showcase that during the course of training camp, as the last caller alluded to, who knows? You know, there's a lot of upside there. This year, right now, it's hard to tell at this point because we don't know what the depth chart looks. But remember, the whole point of the draft, especially guys in the late rounds, sixth and seventh round, it's not, Paul, what they could just bring to the table in 2015. It's perhaps what can they do for you 2 or 3 years down the road.
Look, he's being drafted at a position where the Giants are admittedly thin on the depth chart. You know, they're looking to improve the back end of that depth chart just as much as they were looking to get Eric Flowers to start. So that's a good thing in terms of the need and what the kid might bring to the table.
And you basically take into consideration the fact that they were banged up on the offensive line last year, specifically to the starting lineup, so you have to revolve and rely on your depth chart, and that's exactly what the Giants look to do in terms of free agency as well as the draft. We're going to close out the program here with a few tweets. I know a number of people weighing in terms of a number of topics that we brought up. A lot of people are throwing out here on Twitter, Paul, and you said that off the top, but I don't know if you want to reemphasize who impressed you the most so far in rookie minicamp, because we have a number of questions revolving around that.
Well, guys, you're getting in here late, so I would only say I was very impressed with Davis, the wide receiver. I looked, you know, obviously Collins conducts himself with exactly the leadership skills that we expected when he got here. I think I mentioned the one corner, Willie Crayar. I guess that's what it is. Again,
could be Crear, too.
Crayar, yeah. I'm not sure, out of Eastern Michigan. Again, he's very small. He's on a tryout at 5'8", but looked like he really had a good skill set, something I'd be intrigued about to maybe see a little bit more. I did like Matt Lacoste, the tight end out of Illinois. And I think those are pretty much the guys that we talked about. There is an Andrew Robustelli, by the way, on the roster, number 2 today. He's a wide receiver, 6'2", 209, out of Jacksonville via Sarasota, Florida. Now, I don't think I need to tell you about the history of Robustelli's involved in the Giants organization. For those of you youngins who don't know, Andy's a Hall of Fame defensive end who played for the Giants back in the 50s and 60s, and then later on became a Giants general manager.
Paul was covering the team back then, too, just important to note. Anyway, continue. Thought that was an important tidbit.
So, in any event, he is here, and it was kind of exciting to see him here and wearing a Giants helmet. And what I don't know is, and the Twitters, the reporters may have been able to Twitter this out before, what I don't know is if he's related. Do we know that nearly officially? Is Andrew Robustelli related? He is the grandson. He is officially the grandson. I was so busy looking at a lot of the draft choices, I didn't do enough research on him. So here he is. Here he is, the grandson, and, you know, you look at the name, Andrew Robustelli, there he is, and it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild.
Speaking of family members, we should also note that Taylor Graham, the quarterback, is the son of Kent Graham out of Hawaii.
So I didn't catch that.
Connection. Yeah.
And you know what? And what is it, like 80 degrees here today? And he's probably the only one who's saying there's a chill in the air.
Well, there you have it. So you have some big blue connections from the past, as the Giants look to solidify their roster for the future. Appreciate everybody for weighing in on Twitter as well as the phone lines. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday here on Giants.com at noon Eastern. As we move into next week, we will recap all of the developments and storylines out of rookie minicamp and start to look at how this roster will slowly shake up as they get towards OTAs, minicamps, and training camp. Before you know it, we'll be around the corner.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. For Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a good weekend. We'll speak to you next week. Have a good one.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
What are we getting on punt? Oh, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.